Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, my name is Faye Tozer, and you're listening to 11, the official theatre podcast.
Hello, and welcome to 11, the official theatre podcast that brings the biggest stars and creatives together in one place to discuss life in the arts. Our guest today is an award-winning singer and actress who's been part of one of the leading British bands for over 20 years. As a member of Steps, she's released some of the biggest pop hits, including Tragedy, 5678, and their fantastic hit, Scared of the Dark. Not happy with making it just to the top of the music charts, though, she steps centre stage to take starring roles in musicals, including Tell Me on a Sunday, Me and My Girl, and most recently, Everybody's Talking About Jamie, marking a full 360 as she returns to her original theatrical roots. As Steps releases their latest album, What the Future Holds, it's time to talk bringing pop to the stage, being best mates with drag queens, and a certain Steps musical with Faye Tozer, up next on 11, the official theatre podcast. Just to let you know, due to the COVID-19 global pandemic, Faye and I connected digitally, so please forgive any brief moments while we wait for the internet to catch up. Enjoy. Hi Faye, it's William, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, it's so nice to see you. I feel like any time that I've had any form of contact with you this year, it's been digitally, so it's so nice to be able to see your face and get to talk.
I know, and it is nice to see your face because I haven't seen your face for a long time. I can't even remember the last time that we did see you in person, goodness.
I'm trying to think before. I think I'm right in saying it was the What's on Stage Awards, which I believe were February, March time.
Yeah, just before lockdown, my last glam event, in fact.
I came with my friend Dan to see you when you were just after the show itself, but it was in your hotel room and I ended up humming along to Step songs and you were like, are you singing Step songs? And I was like, no. And you were very kind in not telling me off. So yeah, thank you for
that. That was a crazy room, actually. Oti Mabuse was in there getting ready. Dan, obviously, as well. And then it just became the room that everyone went to. So we had traffic and all sorts of faces and names going in and out, going, oh my God. And how crazy it was that everybody was interlinked in some way. And we were like, how do you know them? And how do you know them? Yeah. It was so much fun. Can't wait till we can do that again.
I know. It just seems so alien. And you watch these sort of video clips of award ceremonies and theatre shows and you're like, you wouldn't be able to do that now. I mean, you wouldn't be able to even, I mean, I don't even think you'd be able to take an award from one person to another, but soon, I know there's progress, yeah, so fingers crossed.
Exactly.
Well, things need to get back to normal because we need to go see you and Steps live. So that needs to happen very, very soon.
Yeah,
coronavirus needs to bugger off. But we'll talk about that in a second because this is an arts and theatre podcast. And some people will be very well aware that you've had this amazing career outside of Steps as a leading lady, as an actress and as a performer, and I just wanted today to jump into some of those things and just talk about, I guess, what it's like having, I guess, a second branch to your career and how exciting and rewarding I know this has been for you. And the last sort of thing that you did on stage, which I saw you twice and you're absolutely fantastic, was Everybody's Talking About Jamie, playing Miss Hedge, which I think is one of those roles where in 10-15 years time, hopefully the show will still be going, then we'll look back and think, wasn't that such a fantastic show and in particular such a fantastic role? Did you have as much fun as it looked like you were on stage?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a funny one for me because having done so much theatre and being leading ladies and what have you, it kind of being a cameo, I wouldn't usually take on a cameo role of that sort of size. But then when I went to see the show before I did my audition, she was such an integral part of the story. And actually, you know, quite fight. I could just be really exciting. And then watching the actual show, I didn't know what to expect musically from it. And it blew me away. And Leighton Williams, who was our leading man at the time, he was just so explosive. He was a triple threat, you know. I mean, the danceability of him as well was amazing. And I just got sucked in. And then I did my audition the next day and I was just full of passion and excitement. And they wanted me. So I was, over the moon. And I met so many incredible friends on it. And it was such an important story. And so it was such a good conversation opener as well. And my Benjamin's local school had an LGBTQ class club come down to see me all the way from up north where I'm based. And it just opened so many doors and so many conversations. And I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it.
And musically as well, it's a very different show because it feels like this sort of pop come musical theatre sound, which is actually quite fresh, isn't it, hearing pop music on stage? Obviously, it has a theatrical element. But for you as a recording artist, that must be quite nice to get to sort of merge the two in a way.
Well, it's quite interesting because people perceive me, I think, in the industry, or what I've read is that, you know, in the pop world, I sound too musical theatre, and in the musical world, I sound too pop. So many interesting sort of judgments, I guess. So it was really lovely to marry the two and just have a good old belt on stage. But for me, you know, I really love the acting side of musical theatre. It's when you become somebody else. I loved the fact that we had a dialect coach as well to, you know, perfect the Sheffield specific area as well. And she would pull us up and you know, every couple of weeks she'd come in and say, well, no, that wasn't quite the right vowel sound. You need to, you know, get back to what we started with. So it's an amazing production. It really is. And for everybody backstage as well, because sometimes in theatre they tell the story on stage but it doesn't relate to who is backstage working with you. And it's such a colourful rainbow backstage as well as on stage, and I thought that was a really, really important thing.
Absolutely. And I feel like people, you know, get that when they come and see the show. It feels like a full 360 experience in terms of representation, which as you put and as you say, it's sort of the world that we live in. It should be that way. It's exciting that theatre can do that. Is it nice for you to get to flex your creative bone in being an actor as well? Because I guess we're so used to seeing you singing, but that is something that you've been very successful at as well. Is it nice to get to play somebody else?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do get my foot in the door first of all because of you know, from the name Steps, but you know, if I can't do the job, they don't give me the role. So I've also had to earn my stripes as well. And I've certainly learnt from my directors and my musical directors as well. And I'm constantly learning about my voice and how to challenge myself as an actress. But I you know, I wanted to be an actress first of all when I was growing up. So that was my first love. It just happened that Steps was the way that I had to go round to get it.
Yeah, totally.
No disrespect to Steps, but I love just falling into that lovely rabbit hole of becoming somebody else and picking things apart and how it develops in live theatre. So, that's the dog.
Also as well, I think it's such a complex role. I think, you know, if you weren't up to the job, if your acting skills weren't at a specific level, which they very clearly were, I think it would be very difficult to be able to play her because she has so many different complexities, including personal self-doubt. And that's quite a hard trait to be able to show on stage. She's obviously desperate to have someone love her. She's obviously struggling with her own sort of levels of acceptance. And that in itself, you know, makes a really meaty and juicy role for you to get to portray.
Yeah, and also what she actually believes, she feels she's in these children, and in fact she's trying to protect them, you know, and kind of doing it with a cruel love as well as you know, trying to stick within the rules and be blatant and say, you know, the world outside isn't all, you know, unicorns and rainbows and glitter. It's really not. Someone's going to shout you down. You need to be prepared for that. And just because your classmates allow you to fly and flourish, it doesn't mean that that's what's outside the front door.
What did being in the show teach you perhaps about your own approach to the outside world or to acceptance or perhaps judgment? Because I think you go into that show seeing and thinking things and then taking it away with you, and it does sort of play on your mind for a while afterwards. It makes you sort of self-evaluate.
I think I just really loved being immersed in a whole cast of incredible talent, and I really felt like with the cast of Jamie it was so very inclusive, and I think the conversations, you know, made me talk about those conversations outside more as well. And I don't, you know, I think I've grown up with enough sort of colourful characters from all over the world, you know, different types of religion, sexualities, you know, heritages, all, you know, all these things. But I think it was so lovely to have it in the same room and listen to opinions, actually, and controversial conversations that they had within the cast themselves as well. So, yeah, it was a big eye opener, and I feel kind of more educated for it.
Did you know Michelle Visage before you were in the show itself? Because I know that you guys have become really good friends.
Yeah, I was speaking to her last night. We're supposed to be FaceTiming later. Yeah, this is a crazy thing. Michelle and I have suddenly connected in the world, and I knew of her because she did, I'm sure she did Big Brother with Claire. So that was my first contact with her. Then she was Miss Hedge, and then she went on to be Giovanni's partner in Strictly, who I'd been partner the year previous. So we seem to be playing sort of work tag at the moment. And then she contacted me, must have been at the beginning of Strictly, and I was like, oh my god, Michelle's on the phone. This is so crazy. And we just had some really good band, had some fun, and then I got her involved with some of the Steps promotion as well, because, you know, she's such a great girl, and she loves our music, and she knows all of us lot anyway. So yeah, it's been a crazy connection, but she's so much fun and I love her.
And she really does love your music. I mean, you only have to look on her social media to see that she's a proper fan. Like, she's not faking it. This is a real love of you guys.
Well, yeah, I know, which was a surprise, but it was also a surprise when RuPaul had mentioned us on Twitter when we first released Scared of the Dark as well. Yes. I mean, for a lot of us, you know, the little squeal inside going on.
Has she, or has even RuPaul tried to get you as a judge on the show? Has that ever been discussed?
Oh, not yet, but I'm so there with bells on, even backstage. I'd quite happily go and watch. I'm a huge fan. I'm very excited that we've got season 2 UK coming up as well.
Definitely,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, no, I'm there with bells on when I get the call.
And you did get two of your own Rue girls, who I know want, well, both of them actually are very good friends of yours. Vinegar, who was in the show on the UK, and also Bianca Del Rio, who you worked with in the show. And I've heard lots of stories about how you guys literally just became best friends.
Yeah. So Bianca is a very dear friend. We kind of talk on WhatsApp at the moment, or she will make rude comments on my Twitter feed or have you. And I, it was because we started rehearsing at the same time for Jamie. We'd be in the same room, we were in the same boat, we're the same age, and we just clicked, you know. She's such a kind and giving queen, she really is. I love her completely, but as Roy as well, you know, just yeah, it was just one of those crazy things that it's just, yeah, why would we know each other? And then just, we had the best time, and he's so naughty, and he would take me out, and, you know, we'd go for drinks after rehearsals, what have you, and just so much fun. And I'm actually looking forward to the end of lockdown when I can pop over on a plane and go and have cocktails by the pool.
That's a very showbiz tale. That's a very...
As you do, in his caftans as well. The rule is you have to wear a caftan when you're at his place, so yeah.
I love that. I do actually have a question that I want to play to you, which comes from somebody that I did just mention. So I hope you're going to be able to hear it. But this is a fun question for you.
Hello, Faye Tozer. It's me, Vinegar Strokes. How are you? Sending you lots of love. Congratulations on the brand new album. It's an absolute blinder. Now, I thought I'd call in because I'm a huge fan of Lisa Scott Lee. So as a fan, obviously working with you, former colleague, and everybody's talking about Jamie, I just wondered if you could just give us a couple of bars of the rap. You know what I'm talking about, my love, the rap.
Oh my God.
Good luck. Don't fuck it up.
Thanks. Oh my God, I literally can't. That's hilarious. Dan is so naughty. So Lisa, when she came over to Dubai, from Dubai, she came to see the show. So Miss Mop and Vinegar and Lisa and I went and had far too many cocktails down the road and had the best night. So yeah, that's where that comes from. Also, thank you to Dan for all the support on the album as well. He's been tweeting like mad and social media, and he genuinely. So we recorded the album as I was in Jamie, so okay. He would hear me rehearsing the numbers and the demos and stuff before I'd go into the studio, and he's like, oh no, I like this one. Yeah, bless him.
In terms of West End debut, it's right in saying that this wasn't your West End debut, because you did who did a show there before, is that right?
That's right. It was Saucy Jack and the Space Vixen. Back in, gosh, do you have the year there? 2007? No, before then, I think it was. So, okay, so I usually go through my biography. So we did Tammy on the Sunday, 2004.
Yes.
Love Sack, 2005. 2000 and Love Shack went on forever. Then 2007, I think it was...
Was it Ava Cassidy or was it Me and My Girl?
Oh, no, 2005 was Ava Cassidy.
Yeah.
But then I did that three times. Mm-hmm. And then we did Me and My Girl. Me and My Girl. And then after that was...
Did you do Rhinestone Mondays?
Goodness, I did. With H! That yes. was an interesting ride. Didn't ever expect to work with him outside of the band. Lots. But sort of Jack and the Space Vixens was a kind of, it was a surprise. That was after Me My Girl, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
In terms of the Tailor-Made Man, when was that?
Tailor-Made Man was straight after a Steps concert. So I think that was in 2013-ish.
Okay.
It was just after our big reunion tour, because that was at the Arts Theatre. So Saucy Jack and the Space Vixens was actually years before. And that was at the, what's it called now? The venue where they had Taboo on originally. It's like downstairs in like, yes. it was like a cabaret sort of, setting.
I know what you mean. Oh gosh, what's the one?
Yeah, but Tailor-Made Man, yeah, that was back in 2013. That was at the Arts Club. Yeah, that was amazing as well. That was a really interesting piece to do.
Because all these shows are very different in terms of approach. I mean, talk about taking on a challenge. You really do sort of like to test yourself and sort of flex your creative bone a little bit. How do you make decisions on what you work on?
So I think a lot of it goes with do I like the character I'm going up for? Okay. do I think I could put my own spin on it? Do I think I can make it my own? Is it something that would, as you say, like flex my sort of capabilities and challenge myself? I get put up for a lot of things that are very sort of classic pieces as well. I guess that's because I've got a classic face and I wear a wig well. But I think I always want to do something different that I haven't done before. So I do try to, shake it up. I've had a few offers just recently for auditions and the parts haven't really blown me away.
Okay.
It's like I have to be excited about the character before I take. But it's funny because when I did Singing in the Rain, I really wasn't sure that I wanted to do that. I didn't know if I wanted to be Lena, because Lena's the underdog, and I know this sounds, I don't know, up my own what name, but you know, I was surprised that I wasn't up for, you know, Kathy. And so when I went in for the audition, I think I fell in love with her because I could, it was kind of a bit more outlandish than I'd ever been, and vocally it was going to be a challenge to sort of be as nasty as possible as well, and I think I really enjoyed doing comedy as well, so yeah.
I love that. I love the idea of you going into an audition and almost not necessarily wanting a part, but then falling in love with it and having a whole journey with something that I guess you once resisted. That feels so authentic and feels really sort of grassroots.
I wanted her to be sort of a lovable underdog, not this sort of crass, superfluous sort of character that's just waltzing and being nasty and being horrible. I really needed to find out why I would want to be her. So yeah, that was fun.
When you did Tell Me on a Sunday, which is such a signature piece, like I feel like everybody knows the songs, everybody knows the show itself. Did you get to have a connection with Andrew Lloyd Webber? Did you ever meet him or work with him?
So I didn't, no. And it's an interesting thing. That was the first ever piece of theatre that I did, musical theatre I did, first thing that I did outside of Steps, in fact, and it was literally head first, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to just do a one-woman show? It's like, crikey, okay. And I would love to do it again with the knowledge that I have now, the experience that I have now, and also with, you know, how more in control of my vocals I am and how I would want to play with the songs nowadays. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was very raw, but I think at the time also the character needs to be vulnerable. And the way it had been rewritten as well at the time was very conversational and was more of an acty sing rather than a singy sing. So yeah, that was interesting. But no, I haven't actually. I've not... I mean, Bill Kenwright is a pal that I keep bumping into left, right and centre. Andrew Lloyd Webber, not yet.
In terms of music and getting to create new music, it's such a cathartic experience. But I imagine this year more than ever, I mean, the idea of releasing an album during a global pandemic seems almost like a silly thing. But actually, you guys have been so incredibly successful and well received. Have you found that the creative experience this year has been different at all?
We had the whole album finished before lockdown. We were just ready to go with the promotion of it. And we had a phone call from America just saying, guys, I think we're going to go into lockdown. You need to give us the answer. Do you want to go ahead with it or not? And we were like, it was 2 days of conversations actually with management and with the band. And also because the title track, What the Future Holds, we didn't know whether that would be really sort of disrespectful to people, whether it would be taken the wrong way. And it was literally just coincidence.
Yeah.
So we had to sit on our hands, and it was really tough because we'd already, you know, done a few teasers on social media that something was coming, and we'd seen the cuts and we'd heard the edits, and it was really hard actually. But then obviously everyone was going through lockdown. Everyone was experiencing changes and having to adapt and work things out and find out where we were in the world and what we were supposed to be doing with ourselves. And then we had the lucky chance of getting together in September, physically, the whole band in the room, obviously under the right guidelines and tested mm-hmm. and what have you. But we had the most amazing like few weeks of getting loads of promotion, lots of recorded things in the bag, lots of social media things together. And the fact that we actually did get to do this was just incredible. And the way that BMG, we're signed to BMG with this record, the way that they supported us as such a huge machine, and the excitement of how the build-up of the release of the album, it was just brilliant. And I think we, you know, we've all needed something to look forward to like that. When we've been talking in promo together, you know, H and I have been talking about how, you know, we've leaned on Lady Gaga's Grammatica for like our pop kick that we needed, or Dua Lipa or whatever. And there's been some, you know, great music out there, but to actually, for us to be able to do it, it's just been just brilliant. It's been exceptionally welcomed into people's hearts, which we absolutely love.
I'm always amazed at how there's a theatricality between theatre work and Steps itself. I'm always amazed at how there is this lovely sort of bond between the two, where they do sort of sit almost arm in arm. And I feel that's sort of why we love it. I mean, when you come and see a Steps concert, it's like pop, but it's theatre as well. And that must be quite exciting.
Yeah. I think, you know, we were never going to be your average band. And we joke about never being in fashion, I guess. And I think because of that, we will never go out of fashion, potentially. Yeah. I think you know what I'm trying to say. But it's just like we consider it a show rather than a lifestyle. And I think, you know, we thoroughly enjoy, you know, putting on the tours and, you know, what goes on behind stage and the lighting states and the themes and the costumes. You know, I think we're all very, very creative in that sort of way. So maybe that's part of it. And yeah, as I say, maybe because we consider it to be an entertaining show rather than a band, I guess. Yeah, in a weird way. Yeah.
I think it's what makes you guys unique, because I don't really feel like anybody else does that. And I think when you can find something that feels authentic but also individual, that's where, with everything, that's where you shine. And I think the theatricality of it is, it's always so impressive, even down to, you know, like the cake, the sort of the wedding cake that you guys did. It's like, that's amazing. Like, that's clever, that's smart. So Yeah, more of that, please.
So much fun. I know. So much to look forward to and prepare for. Yeah.
I know that Lisa spoke recently about the fact that you guys are developing a musical, and I know there's not too much that you can talk about just at this stage. You've always said it's going to happen at some point, and it's exciting that we are finally going to get that fix.
So I don't know how much I'm actually allowed to say about this, but, you know, if it does happen, if it does go ahead, you know, we have always said that we want to back it. We didn't write the music, but it's our music. Mm. And it means a lot to us and our, just everything that we stand for. We can't just put anything out. It needs to be something that we believe in, that then we can back, and that has quality. You know, whatever crazy story it happens to be, you know, it needs to be something, because we've got theatrical people within the band, you know, and we've all got, we genuinely care about what goes out. So yeah, that's why it's probably not been out there yet.
That's a very good answer, by the way. But going, because I know that there's been musicals before, like unofficial ones, and I know that it's definitely not this unofficial one that there's been talks about Princess Diana and stuff. It's not that.
I know, but what a brilliant idea was that. When we heard that, we were like, that, oh my God, that's crazy. But
how would it work?
I don't think it would be the right thing, really, like politically and like what have you. It wouldn't be right for us to do that. But what a genius idea, though. It made us laugh for a while.
Yeah. Okay, my final question for you, and that is looking forward. I'm a big believer in sort of manifesting things and saying, do you know what, I'd really like to do this, I'd really like to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, even though you can put things out there, you never know what's around the corner. And that's what I love about this industry as well. But, you know, I haven't had a chance to do Chicago yet. And that I'd like to do before my hips go. Oh, yeah. That would be so
much
fun.
Who would you be, though? Which one of the girls?
Do you know what, though? I'd like to be either or, really, okay. Because I feel like I really love the Velma feistiness. But the thing is, Roxy is always the one that they go for. So who knows? Maybe we need to get a double celebrity cast and yes. See if we can sort out some sort of duet with someone so I can be Velma instead.
You and Bianca Del Rio, side by side.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah, oh my God, I'm going to so tell him that later. So the other one that I really want to get my teeth into one day would be cabaret as well. I'd love to do a Sally Bowles one day. That's on the list.
Faye, it's such a pleasure to talk to you about this amazing career that you've had. And I love the fact that we get to explore a whole different side of you, not just in the band, but also when you're on stage. So please keep coming back to the theatre. I know you're very passionate about it, but just thank you so much for your time.
Oh, not at all. And just to everybody out there who has been struggling, just keep your chins up. We're going to get through this. It's going to be absolutely fine. We just have to hold on a little bit longer. And just well done for everybody being so creative and keeping it together and still being able to entertain everybody how they have done. It's just been, I've been so proud to be part of this community. So big love to everyone.
Thank you so much. Stay safe and I'll see you very soon.
Thanks, lovely. Nice to see you.
You've been listening to 11, the official theatre podcast. Find out more about 11 at club11.london or via our official social channel.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.